My Career, Part 5. After I left DocuNet, I decided that I wanted to do something that had nothing to do with IT. My brother, Mark, had been retrenched from a large company a couple of years before, and since then had battled to find a steady job. Through the church he was attending, he met up with Alan and began working for him in his business, which rented out stainless steel tanks and chemicals to restaurants and bakeries. Mark wasn't earning as much as he needed, but at least he had a job. The tanks are used to clean equipment such as bread pans, trays, extractor filters, pots, pans, etc. They're filled with water and have an element and a thermostat which regulates the water temperature. The chemicals help remove the black carbon fiber buildup found in stainless steel equipment. The chemicals lasted a month, so Mark visited each customer once a month to drain and clean the tank and then replenish the water and the chemicals. The monthly charge included the rental of the tank as well as the service. They had rented out all their tanks, but did not have the capital to purchase more. They approached me to provide finance, but after many discussions and negotiations, I decided to start a new business, doing exactly the same, and have Mark move across to join me. And so, in September 2004, we started a business called Soak Tank Solutions. I spent a lot of time building budgets, projections, and cash flow models. We looked at various scenarios, and once I knew what my investment exposure was, we ordered the tanks, the chemicals, the vehicles, and all the other necessary equipment. The market was dominated by three companies, so we decided to change the rules that they operated by. Up until then, every customer had to sign a long-term contract of 12 or 24 months. So we decided to take the risk away from the customer by firstly allowing them a 7-day free trial to prove that the system worked, and secondly, working on a 1-month notice period, that is, no long-term contract. Mark went out and started placing the tanks with our new approach, and it worked well. We started to gain a little momentum. Soon after we received our first shipment of tanks, I had my first setback with Mark. I had invested and committed a significant amount of money to the venture and was a little nervous operating in a brand new industry with a learning curve to work through. Mark was prone to the occasional drinking binge. He was an alcoholic, but would not admit it. In previous years, there had been a few occasions when he'd gone off the rails, binges that would last for several days. If that was not a big enough challenge for him, he's also a diabetic. One morning, he did not arrive at work, so I called him, but he didn't answer, which was unusual. About mid-morning, he called me and said he was on his way, but I could hear he was very drunk, so I told him not to come, but to sober up and come back the following day. The next day was no different. He was still drunk. I spoke to Maria, his fiancée, and I said I would take Mark to a rehabilitation clinic at my own expense, because he did not have medical aid cover or the finances to pay for it himself. He wasn't interested. He felt he could control it. Now concerned, I'd only started the business for Mark's sake so he could have a stable job and build a stable life. The following day he arrived at work and I spoke to him in a very firm manner about his behaviour. He said it wouldn't happen again, that he'd stop drinking and start attending AA meetings. I warned him that if it happened again, he would no longer have a job. By this time, my mother was worried, so much so that she arranged to pick Mark up and take him to his first AA meeting. Mark didn't attend further AA meetings after that, as he felt the AA people were a bunch of losers. Then we had setbacks because of Mark's easy, flexible, trusting manner. Many of the 7-day free trial tanks came back after a week. Not because the solution didn't work, but because Mark had not dealt with the decision-maker of the business. The people with whom he'd negotiated the free trial had no authority to make the decision. Over time, we were making reasonable progress, but the business was still running at a loss with a negative cash flow because of the significant upfront investment needed and the significant salary I was paying Mark. Mark was suddenly cash flush again, so the next thing, he was buying a better car and a better house. I warned him about this. I told him the business still had a long way to go just to cover the overheads on a monthly basis. No problem, but I'll have all the tanks placed soon. Maybe we should start ordering more tanks. I'd heard the same line from him many times before, but he was the salesman, the eternal optimist. To him, getting an appointment with a customer was the same thing as signing an order. To his credit, though, over time, he did place many tanks and developed fantastic relationships with our customers. But that was Mark. He was the people's person, the relationship builder. However, he had not attended any AA meetings, despite my insisting he do so. I told him we'd plan his days around the meetings, but he never made any effort. One day, while Mark was out trying to place tanks, I called him and he didn't answer. No problem, I thought, as he might be installing a tank. I waited a while, but he didn't call back, so I called him again. No answer. I suddenly had this feeling that he was drinking again, so I took a chance and drove to his house. Near his house was his favourite watering hole, so that's where I went. It was about 2:30 when I arrived at the pub and saw my bucky parked outside, with the tanks he had drawn that morning still loaded. I was angry. I had started a business for him, and this was how he repaid me. The last time he'd gone off the rails, I'd threatened to fire him if it happened again, and it had. I walked inside. He was in the middle of a very drunken conversation. I tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around and was shocked to see me. I asked him where Thomas, our other employee, was, and he said he'd let him go home early. I was livid. I was paying two salaries so he could spend the day drinking. All I said was that he should leave immediately and take my bucky home, that I'd make arrangements to collect the vehicle the following morning. I left and sat outside in my car, wondering just what I should do about Mark. The following morning I called him and he was still drunk. I had to cover for him that day. The next day he arrived, armed with his apologies and promises. He'd attend AA meetings, blah, blah, blah. I relented and gave him another very last chance. We continued with the business, and he managed to stay on the wagon for a few months until he fell off again in the beginning of March 2005. By this time, Mark had moved into his new house. He had a mortgage bond and a hire purchase agreement on his car to pay. He was deeper in debt than he had been before. Well, before I employed him. This time, when he started drinking, I decided enough was enough. This was the third time in less than 7 months, so I fired him. I paid him out for the month and took my bucky back. He went on a long binge and then begged me to check him into a rehabilitation center. I wasn't interested. He'd had his chance the first time he went off the rails. It was the end of the road for me as far as our business relationship was concerned. I stopped further financial support, but not my love or spiritual support. I knew he would lose his house and whatever else, but he'd made the choice, not me. He was given many opportunities to learn the lesson, but he failed each time, and the consequences got worse each time. He was on his own. I often tried to explain to him my spiritual beliefs and understanding, but he thought I was a little cuckoo and brushed it off. Choices. I employed Nick, a young man I'd known since our days in Paulshof. He was keen and hungry. Mark was thus replaced by someone who only cost me a fraction of Mark's total cost and was infinitely more reliable. The business continues to this day. It is a simple business that does okay. But the blessing of this business is that it has afforded me the time to write this book. Mark was unemployed up until November 2008. He's had a number of major derailments since March 2005, such as the one in January 2006, where he collapsed and had to be rushed to hospital by ambulance. He had neglected his sugar levels while drinking himself into oblivion. In hospital, he was close to death, but none of our family visited him. We'd all had enough. He continually chooses to tempt the grim reaper. A self-induced illness like alcoholism does not sit well with us anymore. especially when there is help on offer. My mother, Linda, and I gave little sympathy to him. We do not judge him, as he has an extremely difficult journey ahead, but he needs to make the correct choices. As of November 2008, he has not drunk for a year, but he looks 10 years older than he actually is. He is now living with my mother in her house. Because of his choices, he has lost everything. Everything he ever cherished, his career, his fiancée, his personality, his daughter. Hopefully, he has learned his lesson. I'd like to believe he has.